The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right.
Consenting, yes.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Geek Vibes Interview brought to you by Geek Vibes Nation. I am your host, Dom Fisher, and today I have with me an actor, a writer, and a director. You know him from films such as Cheap Thrills, The Innkeepers, Compliance, and more recently, Run, The Pell Door, and the hit series, Them. Here to talk about his new film, We Need to Do Something, please welcome the one and only Pat Healy.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Dom.
I appreciate you taking the time. I mean, this film...
Your face says it all.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll give everyone a quick rundown. Seeking shelter from a storm, a family finds itself trapped for days with no sign of rescue and untold evils lurking just beyond the walls. So it's vague, and I like that it's vague because this is a film that as I was trying to gather questions and how to figure out how to talk about, it's very hard to talk about without possibly spoiling something because of the subject matter and whatnot. First off, let's kind of go into your character, Robert. Tell us a little bit about your character.
So, yeah, it's about a suburban family trapped in their bathroom during the storm, but there's some sort of strange, you know, maybe otherworldly or supernatural things going on outside. And, you know, as the movie sort of goes on, maybe we're start to figure out maybe what that might be. Robert is the father, married, two kids, a teenage daughter and a younger son. And he's an alcoholic, and he has some booze with him going in, but then slowly starts to withdraw. And they're in there for quite a bit of time. We actually kind of lose track of time in there, so we don't really know how long it is, but and it gets bad. And as you might imagine, an alcoholic withdrawing while also going through sort of family difficulties. There's a lot going wrong with the family dynamics and his loss of control, or maybe his inability to ever have control in the first place or be terribly assertive, and a kind of apocalyptic end of the world. Well, who cares anyway, because nothing matters anymore. And he just kind of lets it all hang out, and it's not pretty. I guess that about sums it up.
So how do you prepare for a character like this? Because, you know, I assume it's a little hard to get ready for a character that you know is, you know, essentially might be the bad guy. I mean, he's relatable in a sense because the setting, you know, I would be very short myself at some point with questions. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to do this, open this door or break down this wall. I'm a person. So how do you prepare for... to become essentially like a kind of an asshole, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I guess if there's an antagonist in the movie, it's him. It wasn't that far a reach in terms of, we were shooting in September and October of last year. So the election hadn't happened yet and there were no vaccines yet. So we were all in this place of like, we were all, always able to say, I was always able to say, and I remember talking to Vanessa Shaw about this, everything's going to be okay at any point in life. And it was the first time where we thought, I don't know if we could say that. Like, I don't know if everything's going to be okay. And this movie was sort of about that. So the anxiety of that was sort of, sometimes you just meet and this was written with, you know, sort of as an allegory for COVID. So, sometimes you just hit the right part at the right time. I think that my approach to it is, you know, like your reaction to the movie, you know, the face that you made at the beginning, the movie's really bananas. And people shouldn't think that because it's about this sort of dire circumstance that it isn't fun. It's really fun and crazy, and the ways that a lot of, you know, crazy horror movies, I think about like the Italian horror movies, like the Lucio Fulci movies and Deodato and people like that. It's really out there. And then, you know, sort of like has sort of like the David Cronenberg sensibility too. This is the more serious stuff. But yeah, I think that the rage and the anger that I have is just something that, fortunately or unfortunately for me, I've always had. And I've had many years of therapy to deal with it, but the best therapy is acting, because I can let all that stuff outside of myself in a safe environment where no one's going to get hurt and no one's going to, you know, take it personally. And so I guess I connect to that. I always want to humanize whatever these, you know, villains or marginal characters are. I think that's one of my interests. I think you talked about them earlier, and that was almost impossible, if not completely impossible, to do. I suppose I connected with the rage about being jealous of other people being better looking or having better money or better jobs or better, nicer cars or better looking wives or houses and things like that. You know, we all have some of that. The racial component of that was just explosive, and I didn't enjoy doing it, and I haven't enjoyed a lot of the feedback I've gotten from it, because people have taken it very personally, and some people don't know the difference between TV and real life, and that's a problem in and of itself. I don't think anybody enjoys getting angry or feeling hatred. I mean, I think it feels bad, but I think in this case, it's very cathartic. I mean, something like this or something like Cheap Thrills, like getting outside of yourself and knowing that no one's actually getting hurt in the process, and you're sort of free to let it all go, is very cathartic for me.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny you bring up them, because I was gonna say, like, your performance in this film is phenomenal. Like, you have this thing you do with your eye. You tell a lot of the story with your face. And there's a scene that, you know, I won't spoil it because in the trailer, but with the mouthwash, and that image like stuck with me, is like this downward spiral starting to happen. And the same with like them, like you did so well that, like, I remember, like, me and Pat gonna fight, man. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry, Pat. Like, I know it's not you, but like, you did so well.
Yeah, no, I get, you know, you're much nicer about it than some people are. I mean, people straight up, I never got hate mail like that. I mean, it's disturbing, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't write it. I mean, somebody has to portray these characters to tell a story, and I completely understand that. And yeah, I don't know why people can't dissociate facts from
now more than ever, you know, right? The line between media and real life is so thin, and people get confused, especially online. They get really confused about what's real and what isn't, you know?
So how was it not only shooting during, like, kind of the, I guess, middle of the pandemic, where we're kind of to, you know, a possible end, but also this story and this film is so claustrophobic, and there's a heightened intensity. How was it shooting with, like, such a tight-knit cast and also in the confined space?
It was great. I mean, you rarely get the luxury of rehearsal on movies. So we did a week of rehearsal. I think that was really smart that Sean O'Grady did that. And so we got to know each other really well. And, you know, once we got into that room, you know, there was, you know, we were all comfortable with each other. I think, you know, like I told you, that the anxiety about what was coming next certainly fueled all of us. And then we had a couple of positive tests. I think the first day we shot, after we finished, there were two positive tests. And so we had to shut down for another week and then start up a week later, long enough for everybody to get three negative tests or something like that. So it was, you know, and then everyone had to move into the hotel that was right across the lot from where the stage was. And we were all very tight knit, you know, and it was very much about, like, there's something really great about, you know, certainly not great about the COVID situation, but there's something really great about, there's a job you're there to do and there are no distractions and you can't go out and you can't have these other relationships and things. You just go from the hotel and to set and back. That really makes you super myopic and focused on it. So I really love doing it. I love working that way. And it's a tight schedule, but there's a lot to do during that time. But in a way, it's good for me because of that great expelling of energy. You know, I'm pretty burnt after the end of something like that. So it's better to do in like a concentrated month and try and stretch that out over 3 or 4 or 5 months. I mean, I'm working on now, I've been here for 4 months and I'll be here another month. And I can't imagine, you know, keeping that up for that kind of thing up like for 5 months. I mean, whatever Leo DiCaprio is having to do here for 5 months is, I don't know. That's gotta be pretty tough. Keep up that kind of energy.
Yeah, that's definitely long. A long time. I'm a big horror fan and there's not very many things that shock or surprise me, but there's one in particular. There's a few moments, but there's one in particular moment that caught me off guard. And I was like,
you're not alone. It seems that everybody, whether they like this movie or not, can agree that that is has scared the crap out of them.
Yeah. And so I don't know. Did you know going into it, like when you're shooting that scene, that was going to happen? And is there anything that in this film or other films that kind of scares you more than you thought it would?
I knew what was going to happen because it was in the script. But what they didn't tell us is that they played the actual sound really loud and I think moved the set and stuff too. They legitimately scared us. It was that was pretty shocking and surprising. I can handle just about anything, but I don't like the jump scares, man. If it's a good movie, I like them and I appreciate that they were there and got my heart moving. But especially in a theater, man, I just can't take it.
Yeah,
we used to call them pop outs when we were kids. Like there's a lot of pop outs in it, you know. It's like, even if it's just like turned out to be the cat or whatever, it's just like, oh man. And the older you get, it's like, I can't go to amusement parks and ride roller coasters anymore. My body just can't take it. And I kind of feel the same way about the jump scares. I'm just like, I can't be putting myself through this, you know, too old now, man. My heart's going to give out.
Yeah, I try to, luckily enough that, you know, I got to view this at home. So like, no one's going to see me. I don't have to like, you know, protect my rep. I mean, like, no, I didn't jump. That was the other guy.
Yeah, we had the premiere outdoors at Tribeca in New York in a park in Brooklyn. It was everybody. And then I've read all of these things online, you know, it's just like, people might write a review and say they hate the movie, but they talk about that and how scary it is and effective it is. So now everyone who's listening to this has to see it just to see what that is, right? We've done a good tease.
Yeah, especially since, you know, people that know me know that I'm not a person that scares. And, you know, so something kind of got me a little bit more than I'd like to admit. I got to see that part.
I'd love to see a camera on you. I'd love to see what that looks like.
So with the story, which is crazy that the turnaround was so quick, that the book or the novella dropped last year in May, and then you guys filming so quickly, and with the story being such like ambiguous, like of what you can kind of take away from it or what you think it overarching story might be about, what did you take away from the message or the possible conclusion of the movie?
I mean, I think what you can take away from it is what not to do. I mean, like if you're in a situation and you don't know how things are going to turn out, even if they, like we've kind of seen the worst of humanity and the best of humanity during this crisis over the last year and a half. And I think the way to go is to hope for the best, expect the worst, but hope for the best, because I think there's something about a collective energy that does, you know, help us lift us out of these things. And I think if you give into the, you know, my character just doesn't think anything matters anymore because of the situation they're in and then the circumstances of his life at that point. And then you put withdrawal from alcohol on top of that. And it's like, I couldn't go in that direction. I have to believe always that things are going to get better. And it's been my life experience, with the exception of that small window in that time during COVID, that things get bad. Things are good. They get bad. They get better again. May take a while. And they are always better than they were before they got bad. So I hope that people see this and sort of see like a cautionary tale about how not to be and what way not to go. Maybe Sean and Max and some of the actors feel differently than I do, but I'm a Pollyanna-ish cockeyed optimist, I think, ultimately deep down.
I'm the same way. I always kind of have that instead of like, whatever the situation is, it could always be worse. So I'm gonna try to find the silver lining in a situation and just try to trudge forward as much as possible.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I mean, we're gonna have to wrap soon. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. No problem. I just was gonna finish it up by saying.
No, finish it up. Go for it.
Yeah. What is the benefit of thinking that everything's terrible, right? I mean, will it make things better for you? No, it just will make things worse. So like, you might as well, I mean, it certainly doesn't help, I guess is what I'm saying, you know?
Right, right. So my last question is a funner one. That's a more fun one. If you were a cartoon character, what would your everyday outfit be?
Oh, well, I just like the fact that Porky Pig doesn't wear pants and no one says anything about it. So that would be good. He's got a jacket and a tie, but no pants. How does that make any sense? But I would like to try and get away with that.
For sure.
I don't want to get into what that would look like, but, you know.
So I appreciate the time. Everyone, please check out We Need... I can't even think of the title now.
You got it. We Need to Do Something.
We Need to Do Something. Yes, my bad. And it stars not only Pat, but Sierra McCormick, Lissette Alexis, Vanessa Shaw, and John James Cronin. It'll be out in theaters and VOD September 3rd. And lastly, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter, Pat_Healy, H-E-A-L-Y. I'm VPatHealy on Instagram. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Come find me.
Again, I appreciate the time. I enjoyed the film. I hope everybody else does. Whoever didn't, watch it again because I think you missed something.
Yeah, exactly.
So
they need to do something. They need to watch this again.
So again, appreciate the time. And until next time.
Okay, man. Thanks.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.